The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking in the studio. We have Mr. Hassan Godwin.
It's very hot outside. It's the last time we're coming here.
And also, we have in the studio, filmmaker, poet, writer, director. What else do you do?
That's good. That's good.
That's
good.
That's
good. That's good for now. Okay. Let's save some.
Should have introduced her first.
Miss Jerry Lennon.
No worries. Hello. How are you?
So on this week's show, we're going to have L-Man Danny Fildy interviewing actor Russ Camarada. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news.
It's Morphin time!
The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi.
For your Wi-Fi.
As well as the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, which are selling 26, 7, 8, 9 years of conflictness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention is scheduled all the way in November of this year. The 21st, tickets are not on sale right now. Hassan takes pleasure
you can do
in the
nothing.
Fact that you cannot
your,
get
your
tickets.
Your advertising things
right
that
now.
No one can do anything about.
They can
That's
go to the website.
Favorite.
For more information.
To look at when they'll be able to eventually be able to do something.
Can I buy tickets now?
Okay. Yes, and just keep tapping it until... Fair enough.
I also want to give out a shout-out for our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, News, Day Famous Frozen Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, The Hurricane, Millie Portez, and Gary Hansen. You want to get your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. There's a little button on there. It takes you right to our Patreon page. Also on the It Came From The Radio website is my book, Designated, book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source to find its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 and Issue 2 is on sale right now. Buy it so I can make Issue 3. I would really like to do that. It's almost done. I just need some money to get it through the finish line.
If it's no Issue 3, it's your fault, people.
Yes.
It's all your fault.
So normally we take it with the sad news, but we have no sad news.
No, there's sad news. We're just not covering it. There's plenty of sad news.
Yes. We're no sad news for that we're covering. Is that better for you?
Yes.
For this
that
week's
works.
Show. Yes.
That works.
So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more It Came From The Radio.
Hi. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles, dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's HurricaneLI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
Hello there, this is Jan Chappell, who plays Callie in Blake 7, and I'm checking in to It Came From The Radio.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Hello, everyone. This is Ellen Dubin from Lex, and guess what you're listening to? It Came From The Radio. Keep listening.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Michael McManus. I played Kai on Lex. You're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Comic Books For Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Hi guys, this is Xenia Seberg, who plays Zev on the show Lex, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
BKG Productions, LLC, your ultimate audio transformation partner. Got audio that needs a magic touch? I am here to elevate your content. Specializing in professional audio editing, I can clean up background noise, plosives, and pesky S sounds. From podcasts to songs, I've got you covered. Whether it's an interview, music track, setting volumes to precise specs, email bkgvobiz@gmail.com or go to fiverr.com, search for BK Graves 1, and trust me to make your sound sparkle.
Hi, I'm Olivia Younkers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came From The Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking with Mr. Hassan Godwin.
It's great to be back.
And Miss Jerry Lennon.
Hello.
Also, I want to mention that on this week, Wednesday, the 10th, we were at the East Meadow Public Library. We're going to have our 105th live show with Sarah Kaufman will be our guest, and they will be giving away an autographed copy of their book, and we'll also be giving away two raffle tickets to the Trek Long Island Convention. And also in East Meadow on Wednesday the 10th at the Cool Kids Comics, I will be doing a book signing for my book, Designated, which I've already mentioned.
That's good
about
news.
Before. All right, so
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, that's awesome.
So let's go with the not as sad news, because we didn't have any sad news. Yeah, regular
we
news.
We did.
From the... Department.
So the subject is Terminator, obviously.
So that was actually from the recording that I made, rocking out with the guy who sang the song, Jason Page, the guy who did the Pokemon song. You can actually hear my voice in there rocking out as well. But apparently, Jason is in some trouble. He's in some internet hot water, so I don't know if that's like...
So you sang a song with Jason Page, and then you're going to talk about a controversy with him, and people are not supposed to think that you're biased against him?
Well... it depends what I say, right? Isn't that what it is, Hassan?
Well, and then you're a traitor. One way or the other.
One way or the other.
Yeah, go ahead.
So apparently, mm-hmm. allegedly.
Allegedly, yes.
There's two kids who either bought and or traded for a card that was valued at $150 at a convention, took said card to Jason Page, and they traded it for a Jason Page card that he had autographed, and it was graded. And they brought it back to the people that they got the card from, and the people told the kids that he got scammed for the card of giving him a fake card. Now Jason took the internet was swift, and they all jumped down on him for trading a quote unquote fake card with has quote unquote no value to some kids who may or may not have known better. Jason then went to the internet. 3 days later, and he laid out why he should not be vilified in this situation for the cause. Now, I've had both of you guys watch Jason's video, and so what do you guys think? Jerry, we'll let you go first. What did you think of the entire situation? What did you think of Jason's response?
Okay, well, first of all, my first response was I wanted to find out how old these kids were, because why are they trading, like, where's their parents? I saw his video. I also went and saw the other guy who gave them the original card, his video. It's, you know, like, I have three sons, and the amount of Pokemon cards I have bought over the years is, you know. So I know how popular Pokemon is, and, you know, but to see these kids being exploited, if they were allegedly, is really, really upsetting. And again, it's for they're saying the value of the card that he took from them was $150. Now this guy, $150, why would he, you know, for $150? It doesn't make sense to me. But again, as looking at it again as a mom, I'm like, where are the kids' parents in all of this?
Okay, Hassan, what are your thoughts?
Pretty much the same thing. But if he's got a product and he's selling it for however much,
right? His own personal cards,
right? And he values it at that high, and he's selling it, right? If you decide that that's not good enough, then you don't buy it, right? You don't want anything to do with it. This looks, I'm not going to get my value back. There's this unsubstantiated, you know, value to it. But if they wanted the card for what he was selling it for, and they traded him something of that value, then it's not technically a scam. You know, it's probably unwise. It was an unwise thing. But if he told those kids, hey, if you give me this card, I'll give you, you know,
this
I'll give
card.
You this other card, which is valued at $150. That's a scam.
Okay.
But if he's selling it for $150 and they offer him a card of that value and it's a trade, well, if he's got all his merchandise laid out, and the value, whatever he values that merchandise for, is laid in front of them, and they trade a card of that equal value for that, that's not a scam. They came to him. He didn't seek them out and say, hey, you know, I could give you something of even higher value for what you've given me. So I think the word scam is being misused, and that's mischaracterizing it. He's overvaluing his merchandise, absolutely, and he admits the card is like a $5 card, and then when he put his signature on it, now it jumps up to $150 card, and then he has it appraised, and then he has it, you know, valued at whatever.
Yeah, it's
really tough, and like, I agree. Where the parents really should have been like, okay, is this worth this much, you know, or if you want that. Most likely the parents were like, look, I don't even know any of this. If that's what you want and you can get it,
then
go ahead and get it and be happy, you know. I think the problem is they go back and they want to evaluate the worth of the deal that they got. But and that's where it's kind of like that, and that's where the guy introduces the fact that they got scammed,
right?
Which is technically not true, even though they probably didn't get the better part of that deal.
Yeah, and any kid like loves to get something a signature, like, so that's an attraction straight away when he said, I'll sign this card and I'll give it to you, and then they were like excited to get this card. They went back to the original vendor. I watched the video and he goes, what? You got scammed? You know, all that. So
yeah, because they just negotiated that card out of that guy.
Yeah.
Right.
And then they came back and he's like, you gave that card away that I gave you? You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Which, you know, in and of itself is like, why'd you give the card away if that was the big deal in the first
exactly.
place?
Exactly. Because he said, oh, this card, I like you guys. You know, he was kind of, you know, being suave, whatever. I like you guys, so I know this card is about, I'll give you this. I'll trade you this card.
Right.
So the kids were happy about that.
I think
they came back to kind of double their money because they were going to sell the card back to this guy.
With
the signature. Right, because we got a better, higher deal.
And now the doubling your money scheme, which is very different from scam. It didn't pan out because the other person didn't value the card that they were trying to use to double end them.
This brings me back to, if you remember, Hassan, the home shopping network in the 90s. when they were selling comic books on a home shopping network in the 90s. And they were like, yeah, these books are going to be super really valuable in 30 years. And here we are 30 years later, and it's and not super like, valuable.
And they're all like, have home shopping network signatures on them.
Yeah, to put your kids in college. Mm-hmm. That's what they were saying. Yeah, yeah.
But they were saying the same thing with Beanie Babies.
That's right. So
I was collecting Beanie Babies. I was buying them for the love of the Beanie Baby, but everybody was like, keep the tag on. I'm I bought it for my kid to play with.
Here's a perfect example. Well, I'm gonna take this one step further before we go into the next bit of news. You bought some Beanie Babies. You were told it was going to be valuable. And you go and you trade a Beanie Baby for something else which you think
is valuable,
is going to be more valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take the new item that you were satisfied with, thinking it's a higher value because you wanted to trade up, and then you go to somewhere else, and they're like, yeah, that's worth a pile of potatoes.
Yeah.
How would you feel?
Yeah, but I'm not a kid. You know, that's my point. These kids, that would be on me, you know, if I was trading as an adult and I didn't get a good deal. These are kids that were, you know.
Yeah, that's what makes it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
shady.
That's what makes it upsetting. And like I said, it's for $150 we're talking. We're not talking
thousands. It's so much money. And that's the thing is, like, is it really worth $150? That's what people would buy for. That's what, you know,
like
that's
I
the
said,
other
like
thing.
Like I said before, if he's selling it for that much,
right,
and someone buys it for that much,
then it's worth
the person who bought it made it worth that much,
right,
at least for that transaction.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if he could get, if you're selling, so you're selling
my book.
You're selling your book.
I had it graded.
Yes. Well, but I mean, if you decide, look, with my signature on it, this book is now, as far as I'm concerned, worth $150.
Right.
If someone comes along and buys it, it was worth $150 to them, right?
Yes.
You weren't scamming them. You didn't make any. You're like, look, I'm going to sell it for this much. If you buy it for that much, you're getting the value.
Right.
You see it right here. It's not. I'm not saying that there's a golden ticket in one of these books that's going to make you, you
right,
know?
Right.
So it is what it is. It's just you have to be shrewd, you know? And kids shouldn't be running around with hundreds of dollars in their pockets making deals if they don't know how to evaluate these items.
All right. So final thought on that before we move on, Gary?
Yeah, the same thing. I agree. I'm going back to the mom mode. Where were the parents? And why are these kids allowed to make these trades? You know, it's...
The parents are probably the ones filming.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah. Exactly, 100%.
So
like, this is going to go viral.
Yeah.
Spend whatever you want.
So, moving on, from the end of an era department, none other than NBC has unceremoniously canceled both Access Hollywood after its 30-year run.
I love Access Hollywood.
And The Steve Wilkos Show after 19 seasons. According to reports, this stems from the decision to end all of its first-run syndication programs produced by the network. Both programs will continue to produce new episodes until September of this year. Steve Wilkos, that was Jerry Springer's bodyguard, security guy, whatever, and then he decided to make his own show, and now he's just gone after all this time. Were you a fan? You're looking at me, Hazan. Were you a fan of...
I know who's still with Steve Wilkos.
You know Jerry Springer, though, right?
I do know Jerry Springer, yeah.
So, at some point during the show, his bodyguard, security, head of security, big muscular ball-headed guy named Steve, used to interact with the guests, you know.
Okay.
And then the audience used to yell out, Steve, Steve, Steve. So they're like, well, maybe we should give him his own show.
Who will go his show.
And he went to get his own Steve Wilkos show, which for 19 years on the air.
I think he get the better part of that deal. I'm sure he wants 20, but, you know, you're famous for being...
The other guy.
Being the other guy
right.
on the other guy's
yes,
show.
Right.
I mean, you know. And
Jerry?
Then Access Hollywood.
Access Hollywood. I'm upset about because I love Access Hollywood. I just love it. But I didn't know the other guy. I don't know that other show.
Oh, nobody knows.
No,
I didn't know.
I'm looking at you like
19 years.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
I do remember him. I do remember the bodyguard from Jerry Springer, but
right.
I didn't know he went
he
beyond.
He did his
yeah.
own.
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah.
Well, okay then.
Well, as long as he's still alive, he could do another show.
Yes.
Oh,
ready,
podcast.
Ryan, for our
yes.
other butt?
Which is what everybody does.
Yeah, exactly.
You ready? Nuts. Ready? From the... No?
That's a lot of nuts!
There we go. Department. This is coming to you live, folks, right on tape. The horror film Backrooms has taken the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in $81.4 million in ticket sales in its first week of release, beating out the horror film Obsession, which came to the number 2 spot, making an additional $27.3 million in its third week of release. For those of you keeping track, Super Mario sequel is the highest grossing film of this year so far, with $427.3 million, followed by Project Hail Mary at $342.4 million. Hassan, did you see any of those shows?
Nope.
Have not.
No, but my son saw Obsession, and a coworker of mine saw Obsession, and absolutely loved it.
Like, I also
saw Obsession. The hype over it, yeah, was like, I'm not a big horror fan, but I would be interested to see it, only, you know.
Well, since it was since it's so hyped, right? Since
exactly, everybody likes but
it.
It's also low budget, like the,
yeah,
he made it, he made
film.
It, like, and very low budget, and it's an independent, so I would support that.
So, you know, as I always like to not jump in on the bandwagon, because then it'll never live up to the hype.
Did you see it?
I did see it. And I was a fan of the main lead actress because she was on a TV show I used to watch. So I had heard about the movie prior. So I was like, all right, I'm going to see it. And then it all just had this big swoop behind it. It's like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool that this movie, I want to see it. And I saw it. I was like, all right, it was really good. Yeah, I felt that the swoop, as I would like to say, of the...
Yeah, it gives you swooping.
It's the swoop. It's the rush of a
the lead up.
The hype.
The
so
reaction.
Yes.
The,
so
the,
it's
the
like
big reaction to it.
Blair Witch. You remember the big fiasco behind the Blair Witch,
yes,
which
yeah.
I refused to see.
Yeah.
Until way later, and then I was like, why did I bother
yeah,
watching with
you
this?
Missed out on the so you missed out on the hype train.
Which, you know, that's why. So I did see it.
You should catch the hype train, and you'll understand the hype.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I should.
There's peanuts on the hype train.
And popcorn.
It's a snack bar. Yes, exactly.
all right, so let's see what we have. What was the other one?
Enjoy the hype train peanut. Since the concession stand.
So moving on. From the How Much of a Difference a Year Makes department. Now that Stephen Colbert is officially off the air, the viewing numbers are in for late night slots. Compared for the data of the same time of last year. Jimmy Kimmel saw 2.185 million total viewers, which is 178% increase from the same time of this slot last year. Jimmy Fallon pulled in 1.3 million viewers, which is a 14% increase from last year. And CBS's Comics Unleashed walked away with 628,000 viewers, which is a 65% drop from the same time slot compared to last year. Of note, since Byron Allen's Comics Unleashed is a pay-for-airtime deal, the ratings affects his ad revenue, not CBS's, as they're already getting paid for that time slot. I've mentioned it before that I have watched Comics Unleashed, and I always felt that Byron Allen is the just kind of their guy, but he's been around for like forever, and he knows everybody. And I've watched Comics Unleashed, and I'm like, well, they're not really unleashing. He just basically sets
yeah,
up
Byron Allen just knows where bodies are buried. That's why he's still around, because he's never been
like the big head guy, and he's just kind of there, and he's had the show.
He's been around forever,
right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He knows like everybody. I've seen him with interviews with every single person.
That's what does it.
But he's not like Barbara Walters. Like Barbara Walters, like, you know,
well,
Barbara
he doesn't
Walters
do any interviews. He doesn't.
He has here and
no,
there. And
no, not really.
Like, really, but I'm just saying that his show.
He's never going to interview the president, you know. Like
right.
He's never going to have something that high.
Right.
High profile.
But he's paying for CBS's thing. So yeah. What are your thoughts on how the late night world has changed, Hassan?
I don't watch a lot of late night.
Okay.
I don't watch any of them. I did like Colbert. I liked him during the Colbert Report.
Right.
When
yes.
he was doing it with the Daily Show.
Yes.
I caught his show occasionally, but I don't usually watch those anymore. And
Have you seen Comics Unleashed?
Yes, but only because the channel was on when it came on, and I didn't turn it off. But I don't have anything against it.
Okay.
You know?
Fair enough.
So you know, late night, I just. It's not my bag.
Right.
So yeah, but I'm look. If ratings are going up for them because of a loss of one, you know, I guess that's a good thing for the rest of them.
Did you see the last show?
I did not see the last show. I was a fan of the Colbert Report, not the late night Colbert. Mm. I found, I guess it wasn't funny. Like, when he first came out, I was like, it's not as funny as the other one. I'm not going to watch it.
Well, the other one, he was playing a character, you know?
And
so
the character,
like,
right. I thought that the character was much more interesting and entertaining than the actual guy.
Yeah.
Which is weird, and I just stopped it. And I was actually watching Ferguson for a while. So, like, that was my go-to guy, Craig Ferguson's show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he's great.
But
I love him.
What about you, Jerry?
Of all of them I watch, I love Jimmy Fallon. But again, late night, same thing. And I'm a night owl. I'm up late. I used to watch Jimmy Fallon all the time. And it depends now on who they have. But I did tune in because it was the last show for Steve Colbert. And it was very well done. Because you always wonder, how are they going to end it?
Right.
And
right.
His last guest was...
Paul McCartney.
Yeah, so I thought that was a nice tribute because that's where the Beatles came. And so there was a whole load of nostalgia. And it was Paul McCartney who, in the end, turned off all the lights. And I just liked the way they handled it, and I liked the way he handled it. He came out, and he was like, this is just another show, and and I thought it was very well done. But I didn't watch him a lot either, and I have to be honest. I was just tuning in for the hype.
Exactly.
I was on the hype train.
Did you watch Comics Unleashed? Have you heard
of
Comics Unleashed?
Yes, I've seen that. I've seen that. And again, it depends on who's his guest. Some of them... I mean, it's interesting, the discussion, and you know, I wouldn't be tuning in every week, but I have caught it. I have seen it, yeah.
All right. So we're almost out of time.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hassan, you have a final thought?
My final thought is I hope this is not my final thought.
Jerry, you have a final thought?
My final thought is when your kids are at conventions and stuff, please look out for them. Please watch what they're doing and who they're dealing with.
Stop
please.
Giving them hundreds of dollars
yes,
to
exactly,
go around. Just
exactly. And, you know. All let them enjoy the Pokemon cards for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Cards.
Fair enough.
Don't let people convince them that they got scammed if they got what they wanted.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Just look out for your kids.
So that is it for the news segments. For everybody listening to us on the air, we'll see you next time. For everybody else, stay tuned for more. It came from the radio.
This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe. And I am here at CradleCom, and I am with It Came From the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to It Came From the Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I'm going to take a few minutes out to talk about something a little bit different. As some of you are aware, I've been listening to the show for quite some time, and maybe have expanded out to seeing some of my interviews on other shows. I originally created this radio show as a hope to get my comic book published. It took me 30 years to do, and the show in a roundabout way actually made it happen. And 3 years ago, we actually managed to publish issue one of my comic book, Designated, a 5-part miniseries. And one of the things, once you finally get the book published through various trials, tribulations, setbacks, this fake deals, other false starts, as you can say, and tons and tons and tons of setbacks. Issue one finally came out. And to promote the book, because that's just the first part, is getting the first part out, is promotion. And as I've mentioned many times in the show before, and hopefully you guys have been listening, I actually managed to turn the issue one into a radio play. And thanks to filmmaker Lee Klinsky, adapted it, and we decided to perform it as a radio play with actors and music and sound effects. And we actually wound up performing it at the MCON, which is the East Metal Public Library. Once again, this is 3 years ago, and it was given an idea that we should try to do it again at one of the biggest conventions in the entire United States, New York Comic Con. And we did. We managed to get a panel at New York Comic Con and perform it live in front of an audience. We actually managed to show some pictures from it on our Facebook page. But only up until this year, which is 3 years later, not only did I manage to publish issue 2, which I've been talking about for quite some time, but we're looking to do it again. We're looking to get a panel on New York Comic Con. And one of the things we did was I managed to get the video footage of the panel from 2023. and put it out there. The panel was presented by Trauma, yes, that Trauma, Toxic Avenger fame, and they were kind enough to present our panel. We showed some trailers. We showed a video package from Lloyd Kaufman, who has been a guest on our show, and we have covered many events of his. Once again, check out our Facebook page for pictures of that. They did manage to present us, and I was extremely grateful for that. We got the panel up there, so now we're looking to do issue 2. Trauma has once again agreed to present issue 2 as a radio play, and while we are working on it feverishly to adapt issue 2, we're now on the precipice of hopefully getting in. We apply for the panel, and we're just waiting for approval, which we will find out at the end of this July, the 31st. And what I'm asking all of you out there, because everyone listening to this show right now, if you're listening to it, once again, thank you for listening. And I'm making a call for your help. If you would be so kind, please go to our YouTube page. It Came From The Radio. Just type it in the search bar, you'll find us. Go look at the panel from 2023. Watch the entirety. It was edited. For clarity, we added a couple things in there, but it essentially is the panel recorded as it was live from 2023. And make a comment. Share it out there. Watch the video. And if you do share it, please tag New York Comic Con and please tag Trauma. Hopefully, this will help us get in for issue 2. I rarely ask for your help in this type of thing, but I believe this is one of the few times which I can call in a favor for all our listeners out there. So I would greatly appreciate and be fully indebted to you guys if you took a look at the video. It's a designated live read from New York Comic Con 2023. It's super easy to find. Just go to our YouTube page, It Came From The Radio. Hit the button on there. It should be the first video that pops up if you're a subscriber to our channel. Thank you. But it's also under videos. Hit that button. Take a listen. Make a comment. Share it out there on your social medias. Hopefully, with your help, we can make issue 2 into the radio play. In addition, if we do well enough, then I'll be able to finally get issue 3 out, and then issue 4 out, and issue 5 out. I am actually hopeful that we can make this happen. I have been working feverishly to promote the book and to get this as far as we have. It's a long time coming, and for all you independent creators out there who've either been a fan of the show or listening to the show or a guest on the show and found your way back to this, listening to us right now, I am asking for your help. So thank you for that, if you do so inclined. And if not, that's okay as well. I hope you still enjoy our show and keep supporting us in any way you feel possible. So once again, please go to our YouTube page. Go check out our panel for New York Comic Con 2023 about Book Designated. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it is a book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to planet Earth and as a result some humans gain abilities. You're a sci-fi fan, you like old comics. This was written 30 years ago, and humbly speaking, I believe it holds up to the test of time. Hopefully, you've actually picked up a copy of the book. But I'm asking right now to help us out with the video on our YouTube page. Like it, share it, put it out there, social media, comment, and tag New York Comic Con and Trauma. And hopefully, by the end of July, I'll have great news, and we'll see you at New York Comic Con. I've already gotten my press pass, so either way, I'm still going to be covering the event. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you for taking time out of our show to humor me, as I say. And with that, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
Hi, I'm Olivia Youngers from Star Trek Picard, and you're listening to It Came from the Radio.
Now, back to our show.
You're listening to It Came from the Radio. I'm here with Russ Camarda. He's an actor, director in theater and film, screenwriter, producer, cinematographer, editor, wedding photographer. That's and cool. he's been doing this probably other things too for more than 30 years. We're not just what we do in life, so he's many things. He has a very soothing voice. I was listening to many interviews that featured Russ and then also some of his own talks. He gets kind of metaphysical. He's a very soothing, calming, enjoyable presence. I'm like allergic to high-pitched noises, so I just can't listen to you. And he's like an ideal voice, I would say, for if we could just like put most people's voices to Russ's, then I'll listen to you more. All right. He also played like some heartthrobby, like handsome type of roles. You know, from like the good guy archetype, he plays in the really fun vampire movie called Night for Day. And I love that. I saw that maybe like a year ago. Absolutely. I love vampire movies, always have. So this is a really fun one. He plays like a kind of like a good vampire, which I've never seen that take on it. But he played like a good guy in a vampire movie. I was not expecting that. And then he's also played like villainous neck tattooed criminals that are really intimidating, more intimidating than his vampire role. So anyway, I could go on, but Russ Camarda, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jen. Thanks so much for having me. This is a blast.
Well, thank you for being here. So we got 20 minutes, and we're going to just have to go right into The Proctor, which I saw last night. And I'm not just mentioning this because I only worked on it for a few hours. I did a little bit of young to old aging effects makeup. Mm-hmm. Really fun, you know, changed the woman's hair to gray and wiry and made her face full of sunspots. And I loved Ariana's role. So this is like, it's called The Proctor. It's a very fun, I'd say, 80s themed comedic high school film. It's just fun, easy watching, and has just a great vibe to it. So, yeah, why don't you tell us about The Proctor and why should we watch this?
Well, sure, and I'll try and do it in my best ASMR voice. now that you set me up so beautifully.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, The Proctor is exactly as you described it. We tried to do a throwback to the old John Hughes type comedies, you know, Breakfast Club and Pretty mm-hmm. Pink and Ferris Bueller and all that stuff. And we tried to make it look and feel and sound exactly like that. But the basic premise is it's a guy who never graduated high school. He got stuck in high school from 1986 and he's still there at 56 years old. And he's trying to get his way out of high school, but he's hanging out with all the Gen Z kids. So it's Gen X meets Gen Z,
right?
You know, John Hughes type milieu of the aesthetic of the piece. So, and it's funny and it's absurd. It's like, it's as if you took the absurdity of Ferris Bueller and you mixed it with the sort of poignancy of Breakfast Club. You know, it's got both of things in it. And what we tried to do is kind of address the kids today a little bit, you know, what their concerns are, because
mm-hmm.
way different than when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
Dress those kids, but then kind of mix it with sort of Gen X slacker philosophy, and they clash and they teach each other something, and it's a fun picture and definitely for me a totally different kind of movie than the stuff I've done before. And
oh, really? It's very different.
Yeah, very different. Well, you've seen some of my stuff, and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm usually in something dark or dramatic or this or gritty, and this is a real light, bizarre, fun comedy. Written and directed by Ed Uther, who's a
mm-hmm.
friend of mine and a producing partner of mine. We work on a lot of different things together, and this is his first feature film as a director, and I think he did a great job.
Great crew,
really had a good time, and last night was great to have you there. We had a great private screening.
I loved it.
And it looked
loved cool. it, loved it. Would definitely watch it again. I could see, you know, Caddyshack I've probably seen like 50 times. I could see just throwing this up at the end of the day and having fun watching it. I will just ask one question. I really want to get to the real questions, but there's references to like children identifying as cats, which is a real news issue where they have, you know, kitty litter in schools. And that was mentioned as one of the things, you know, we have to be sensitive to the needs of the students. So did you personally do any research into kids identifying as cats before working on this movie?
Well, I didn't do it, but Ed, in writing the picture, he interviewed all kinds of high school teachers. He interviewed students, and he did a whole bunch of research on it, and that's where we came up with a lot of this stuff. I don't know if the cat one specifically was, but it's totally possible.
Maybe.
In fact, you know, we even changed the script. You know, there's a whole scene with the nurse, the school nurse there, and she talks about all the kids, the problems they have. We wrote that after the script had been written. We went into one of our locations to find the nurse's office, and the school nurse was there. We talked to her, and she told us all this stuff, that kids come in with anxiety and depression. And it's just not like the way we grew up. It's totally different than what we were.
Although that was Deborah Twiss, right?
Deb Twiss, that's right.
I made a tattoo for her, custom. What a great actress to work for. If you need a beautiful actress who's very fit and like can play the hot girl vibes, definitely recommend her. She's great. She's great to work with. Shoot, what was I going to say? Oh, yes. I used to pretend to have, I mean, I did have anxiety. I'm an anxious person, but I played it up a lot in high school so I could get out early. So that's did that, and I was born in 1984, and they must have thought I was an absolute psychopath. I just don't feel well. I have to go, and then I go to the gym, or I get Ralph's Ices.
Well, you're a millennial then, right? That's what I guess what you are.
I guess I'm like an old millennial.
An old millennial. Yeah. So you're closer to mine. I'm a Gen X guy, so
I'm like in the middle.
I went to the school nurse, you know, to cut class, you know, and that's
right.
But very interesting picture, and learned a lot about kids and stuff today.
Really. Yeah. Well, okay, totally switching. Now, you're an actor. I love all the acting I've seen. There's definitely more to see, so I got to do that. So now, as an actor, for me, when I've played roles where I'm tortured, disturbed, I'm living an unhealthy life as the actor, you know, in real life, I'm pretty healthy. I just, you know, eat asparagus and I had kombucha right before this. You know, I'm a total health nut. I'm drinking superfoods, whatever. So now, in my real life days, I like to actually become the character because I'll get more ideas on the mannerisms and eye twitches and, you know, where to look around the room. And I just wanted to really develop who this person is, especially if I'm starring in like a 50-minute film and I have to become this character. You know, the decisions that they'll make and how they react and if they'd roll their eyes or whatever, or if it's unlikable, I want to become unlikable, which is what I did for a year for multiple films. I became someone that you want. Literally, my main goal for one film was that I want the audience to want me to be thrown down the stairs because I'm such a piece of garbage. So that's my whole thing, is just to get you to hate me. All right. So now to the question for you is, have you noticed that maybe playing certain roles enhanced your life outside of the film set and on the film set, your happiness, your well-being, while other characters let you feel more drained, uncomfortable, or disturbed on and off the film set?
Well, you know, I come from a little different school of, I kind of hang up the coat when I go home, you know, and pick it up when I get on there. I find it interesting to, once I get into the body of the character, I stand up and I start working on it. You know, things start to come. I physicalize things, you know, I move and start to see how this guy moves with the text when I'm speaking, and that kind of informs where I'm going. But if I'm playing particularly difficult, like I've played some really awful psychopaths and some tortured people and all that stuff, but I usually don't, it doesn't really come home with me. When I was younger, it did. I did a lot of theater when I was younger, and a couple of them in particular, you know, I would take home because they were so personal to me. I did a production of A Streetcar Named Desire that I directed, and I played Stanley, and that was he's such an abusive and such an iconic character, and it took a lot of energy to play that part, and I took that one home a lot, and I probably wasn't a pleasant person, but I was 27 years old at that point, and I've since, you know, learned in my technique that I just kind of, I find an action to play, I understand what the character wants, and I decide how they're going to get it, and once I've done that, that's all I do. I just play that action, you know, to put somebody down, to put somebody in their place. You know, you pick an action phrase to play that you think that character wants to achieve, and then you just set about achieving it, and whoever's in front of you, the other actor, is going to, was probably written to not let you have it. So the conflict and the drama and the humor and all that stuff comes out of just playing the action. So you don't really end up taking it home too much. What you do take home is an empathy for that kind of person. That's you, an understanding, but
I don't know. I gotta say, I kind of like becoming the character. Not if it's a disturbed, psychopath, but like a vampire psychopath. That was kind of fun to play that. I really stayed in character as this evil Sherry for a little while because I thought of how Sherry would move, how she would look. She kind of should look like an action figure and be fast, and this 500-year-old all-knowing. So doing through the days, I think it helped me at night. All right, so. Yeah, it was fun for me, but and it's fun to be a play a vampire and be like, I'm gonna be a vampire for the next
That's the whole thing, man. It's the it we're
year.
playing. It's a, it we're playing,
Yeah,
and it is fun to put on somebody else's skin for a while and
sometimes.
get away with stuff.
Yeah, unless I'm playing a boring mom, then I want to
Yeah.
hang that up real fast. I'm really boring. All right, so now opinions are like elbows. Most people have them, not everybody. So what's some advice that you did or didn't take, and how did it work out?
Some advice that I did or didn't take. This is a tough
Yeah.
one. Well, I mean, I think career-wise, I got advice early. When I first started going out as an actor back in the, blah blah, late 80s, early 90s, and I was going out hitting showcases and doing the actors' connections and all the things where you try and get agents and things. I would do my stuff. And I would be told by whoever the casting director, the agent, go out and do your own thing. Nobody's going to hire. It's going to be tough to be hired, but this is the age of going out and doing your own thing. Create your own theater company, create your own movies. And I took that to heart. And I spent the next, 2 decades making my own movies, making my own plays, doing all that stuff, getting nowhere, with no success or any kind of career achievement. And then when I went back out in my 40s and started, I said, let me take a run at it again. I'll go back out into the showcases and the casting directors and all that stuff and put myself out there. And they were all like, wow, you're really good, man. Where have you been? And I said, well, I was been out doing my own thing like you guys told me 20 years ago. And they're like, yeah, well, now unfortunately everybody you're going up against has already been in this in the business forever. So that was a it was like I took the advice and I'm glad I did. I much prefer doing my own, being my own producer and doing my own projects. And but I never had, I don't think, the career I probably should have because I didn't make the sacrifices that I should have at the time. So,
Like what type of sacrifices
well,
do you
I
say
think.
would have helped you? Like movie or film success wise, not life success.
Yeah, I think what happens is it's like, it's like when you're going to be an actor for a living, you got to pretend it's an Olympic sport, man. It's 24/7. It's you get up every day and that's your job, and you just got to go out and do it. And I did other things. I mean, I got married back then, and I had a house, and I did all those things, and I tried to have both things. And I think the sacrifices you have to make are early, and you have to do them, unfortunately, in just my opinion, you have to do them when you're 20, 21. You got to get out there and get into it. And if I had done that, all my contemporaries now would be like the guys my age would be, Matthew McConaughey and Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and those Daniel Craig. Those would be the guys, that I would the circle that I might have been in. But I didn't do those things that were necessary that you have to do back then.
Well, I mean, there's still time. You're still alive
I'm
and you
still
can
plucking
act and
away.
you did
Yeah,
a
I'm
great
still.
job in the practice. So there's no really age limit on acting, is there?
Not really, but I think as far as it's a different world now because of all
Yeah.
this equipment and the price point of being able to do your own thing. So you can do it, you can get noticed and do things, but I think in general, my advice would be as an actor, get in young, get out there, do the things that are hard. Because it's harder now, just physically harder and financially harder. But when you can sacrifice, you sleep on somebody else's couch and some
Oh.
roommate, like you could do that when you're 20 years old,
Right.
and you kind of have to. And I didn't do those things, but
Gotcha.
I don't
Okay.
regret those things at all, and I'm happy with the projects I get to do now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I did three interviews today before you. I think I asked everyone about work-life balance because that's a big topic. I'm almost 42, and I think about all the time, what sacrifices do you make to get here? If you don't make this sacrifice, this isn't going to happen. There's 24 hours in a day. You can't do everything. So, yeah, totally switching gears. Now, I heard you talking about this on it. different recording, so we're gonna kind of continue. Where do ideas come from? You know, I have songs that came to me. I used to do stand up. I'll probably go back to it. I have jokes that I woke up with many times. Some of my best jokes that the audience was roaring. Mm-hmm. I woke up with it, and very complicated stuff, like very obscure things, like what the hell. So where do you think ideas come from? You, God, spirits, angels, demons, aliens, your ancestors, yourself. Where do these ideas come from?
All of the above. No, I'm just.
Oh wow.
No, maybe. I think. That's the question, isn't it? I mean, that's the base underneath everything. I believe because I've seen it so many times in my own self, mm-hmm. that, you know, there's stuff in the ether out there. It's just part of like a fabric of consciousness that we're all part of. And there are things that kind of resonate with you, if you want to get hippy dippy about it, that resonate with kind of the vibration that you are. Mm. And they want to be told, they want to be, you know, spoken about, and they kind of surface. There's a script, my next thing I'm working on now, a screenplay that took me 12 years to finally sit down and write it, because it was a story I wanted to tell back then, but I knew if I wanted to do it, I wanted to do it with a certain amount of money. I wanted to really do it, you know, go for it and, you know, take a step up and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I kept putting it off and trying to throw it away. I kept you know, not writing it, forgetting about it, and it didn't let me go until I finally wrote it, and now I'm in the act of raising money to produce it. But it took years of it, like, hitting me on the head, like, mm-hmm. literally. I didn't want anything to do it. I'm like, please go away, please stop. I don't want to do this. Please don't make me do this, because I knew the road would be hard, but wouldn't let you go. It wouldn't let you go.
Why would it be difficult? Why do you think
because. You know, all the movies that you've seen that I've done, mm-hmm. and even, you know, right up to The Proctor, these are movies, they're all great. I'm proud of every one of them. But they're all done with minimal resources, like micro budget mm-hmm. resources mm-hmm. to get them done, you know, really scraping together everything you can. So this one that I wrote, I really knew in writing it, I wanted to attach, you know, some name people to it. I wanted to really find money. And I knew, I don't know how to do that. And I knew that was going to be hard. And I knew that if I wrote it, I would then sort of want to do it. And then, and I was afraid of, like, well, now I want to do it, and I want to do it a certain way, and I don't want to do it the old way. So that's why I kept avoiding it, but it wouldn't let me go. So we're going to try.
I mean, you had a packed room last night. I'm not going to talk about too much about that. It was a very private little event that wasn't so little. Yeah. But I mean, that was a total success. I missed the Q&A. I had to go to sleep. Yeah. It's the only Q&A I think I've ever missed. And I usually live for the Q&A. I was so mad, but I had to be here for you and everybody else. I mean, how am I going to...
Something too that I missed. Did you hear that?
What's that?
There was an earthquake that we missed, by the way.
No, what?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, swear to God.
Wow. Yeah, well, I love The Proctor. So everyone watching, if you like comedy movies, definitely see The Proctor. If you like 80s, you got to see The Proctor. Now, we got 2 minutes 2 minutes left. Maybe say maybe 3 minutes. So let's see if you can answer this question and then give us your socials and where to find you. It's a fast interview.
Sure.
So now, do you think you need to physically go to Hollywood to be successful, and or is Hollywood dead?
You definitely don't need to go to Hollywood to be successful. Mm-hmm. Is Hollywood dead? It's it's definitely taken some lumps, and it's going to take some more lumps very soon with the rise of artificial intelligence and you know, Chinese just released that Sea Dance video. If anybody's checked out some of the AI video out there, it's definitely going to put, at least in the beginning, a lot of people out of work as far as visual effects and stuff. So Hollywood's going to take a lump, but here's the thing. People feel it when it's not authentic. They feel it when it's not human, you know? So there's always a place to tell stories. There's always a place where audiences want to go and get the vinyl feel and not the MP4 feel, you know, not the MP3 feel. They want to feel the warmth of that humanity. So there's always a place to make your pictures. And just like you saw The Proctor last night, and just like you've seen everything else I did, those were non-Hollywood pictures. They're all going to be distributed. They're all our movies are on Amazon and Tubi and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So you can make a movie, get your stuff out there. The key is, and this is the mistake and the fallback that I never did, and this, you got to have some money to promote. You got to be able to promote it, because you can make the pictures for very little. You can get a lot of talented people for very little. You can get it out there, distributed for almost nothing, but then who knows it's there? Right. So I would say make your movies, but save all the a third of that money that you're going to make that movie on to market it. Because if you can get an audience, you can be, you know, pick your YouTube star. You can be whoever. People will watch. You just got to get
it. You could be like me for all my projects, Haley Weinstein, producer from hell, or maybe me. Maybe there will be death threats and it will be put in contracts that if you are going to act, be involved in any of my films, guess what? You have to promote. And it will be actually written out exactly how many times per year, per month, per week. Because guess what? If you're involved with me, you know, family wise, friend wise, anyway, I feel like if you're in someone's life, you should add something, you know, add some type of contribution. You know, we're all going to be flushing toilets and breathing, so we're all contributing some type of pollution every single day. So, you know, just contribute to the film and help market it. And what if every single actor in The Proctor, for example, had to make 10 promotion posts? Don't you think that movie would go a bit further?
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would be threatening them and saying that you're going to do this, or else guess what? Someone's going to show up to your door and maybe take your child away.
Consider this a threat.
That's what I would do.
That's right.
All right. So where can people find you, Russ Camardo? Where can we find you?
Oh, I mean, I have my day job is I'm still an event video producer. So I do everything from, you know, wedding events to corporate events to commercials and all that stuff. So you can find me at tagstudioNY.com is the website, and then tagstudioNY on Instagram. You can see, but again, I'm just posting silly pictures of me working, so you can find me there. But yeah, you can always, and just Google me or IMDb me. You'll see all the credits, and you'll see all IMDb is great because it gives you links to all the movies and where you can watch them, and they're all on Amazon. So there's a whole bunch of great B and C level movies out there of me killing somebody or. Whatever.
What's the one where you had a neck tattoo and you play some type of criminal?
Yeah, that's The Night Never Sleeps. If you want to see that's one of my favorite roles, by the way. That's because
obviously
a complete psychopath. I think I killed like 17 people in that picture. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's the role I play all last year. I play like a psychopath, like, and I just basically stayed in character for four films. All right, so The Night Never Sleeps. The night is your theme in life. All right, so you got The Night Never Sleeps.
Apparently, yeah.
And then we got Night for Day, which I raved about. I wrote a crazy fan review. That's on Amazon. So, all right, on that note, we are over time. So thank you so much. And hope to hear more from you. Hope to see tons more work from you. The work is quality. It's not only quality, because anyone can make quality work, but it's also entertaining and enjoyable. And it makes you, at least it leaves me feeling like, wow, I enjoyed that. That was great. Not like I want my life back and I wish that I never saw that, because sometimes that happens. All right, on that note, back to the studio with more Came From the Radio with Mark Torres.
The Pata, if you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on the Came From the Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough.
Go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From the Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of this station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.